Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, interesting. This is Susan, Laris, and Dan's. Apparently the music is not playing today, so hopefully you can hear me. That's unusual. So I don't know. Maybe the music will not be working today, or maybe you're hearing me over the music. It's hard to say, but I am just going to go ahead and speak since apparently something technically isn't working well with the music today. You are listening to The Frontier Beyond Fear. I am your host, Susan, Laris, and Dan's. And today I have a wonderful guest on the show, and I am so looking forward to speaking with her. And her name is Allison Carman. And Allison, the author of the wonderful book, The Gift of Maybe. And I'm going to do something a little unusual today, since apparently technically there's a little bit something unusual going on, which is very relevant to the topic of the book. I'm going to bring her on before I give the full introduction, because I want to make sure that Allison can hear me as well. So, Allison, I'm about to bring you on the line, and then I'll finish this introduction for the audience.
Hello, Susan.
Hello,
I can
Allison.
Hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Normally, I give an introduction and then bring the guest on the line, but today, apparently, we have an unexpected event where the music didn't play, and I find that rather interesting because I will launch into this introduction, is that your book, which honestly fell into my hands at a beautiful time, really talks about how to deal with the unexpected. Now, this is a small thing. In fact, I'm going to explore this right at the outset, that I could be thinking as a host when this happens, since this is all automated and it should just play, is that, okay, what if nobody can hear me? What if, you know, the show is broken? What if this or that, all kinds of negative things? What if I can't do the show because the music's not playing? That is an example of a kind of question that your book can answer in a very small sort of a way, because what if everything's fine and the music just didn't play and now I get to talk to Allison earlier than usual?
Maybe everything's okay.
Right. What if this is set up so that this show is even more authentic than normal, you know, that we just launch right into it, which would not at all surprise me after reading your book, because that's the way it is. So let me introduce you. Now that I know you can hear me, I can trust the audience can hear, and I'll do a quick check on that in a moment, but generally they can, and it's not the first time the music hasn't played, although it's been a really long time since that's happened. So I want to just tell the audience a little bit about you. Your book is indeed called The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. And as I said right at the outset, very spontaneously, this book has fallen into my hands at the right time. But I can theorize that it's always the right time for this book to fall into somebody's hands, because we are always dealing with uncertainty in our lives, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And Allison, I know that you are very active as a speaker and a blogger. You were an attorney. You have articles in the Huffington Post and Psychology Today. Now you're a very successful life coach and tell some wonderful stories from your coaching in your book. And you are, you know, sought after as a business consultant and work with so many interesting clients. And I want to tell the audience right at the start that Allison's website is AllisonCarman.com, and that's up on the show page so that you can see it. So Allison, first of all, let me say, music or not, it is certainly a delight to have you on the show with me today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Wonderful. Well, I thought that we would start this out. I have to tell you, you grabbed me right at the start when I first heard about your book with this concept of Are we addicted to certainty? That is a very powerful question, and it's filled with, what does that mean? Can you reflect, Allison, on your own life and how you realized that you were addicted to certainty and how that was limiting you?
Okay. Well, I always say, I was an addict. I wasn't addicted to drugs or alcohol. I was addicted to certainty. And every moment in my life, I needed to know what was going to happen next. And if I didn't know, I projected things were going to be bad or they wouldn't work out in my life. And I think a lot of us are addicted to certainty because we worry that we're not okay, that when we make a plan and we want to get this job, we want to get this raise, we want our business to grow at a certain time, and when it doesn't, we think that there's no other opportunities for us or things aren't working out, and we forget this idea of maybe. And for me, I wrote this story in my life that I was worried and stressed all the time, and the story was that I was going to become an attorney one day, and I was going to get a job at a very large law firm. I was going to make a lot of money. I was going to marry a great guy, and everything would be okay, and all my stress and worry would end. And I think that's what we think, a lot of us, that if this one thing would happen in our lives, then everything would be okay. No more uncertainty.
Yeah.
There's the joy. There's the happiness. Life is stable. So I actually went to law school. And I did. I got this job at a very large law firm in Manhattan. I was overlooking Central Park. I mean, I couldn't have written a better story. And I remember I was so happy my first day. I actually felt, I've arrived. This is it. All that stress and worry is gone forever. And the second day of work, my office mate walks into my office and says, Allison, did you hear they're firing half the first years? And I was a first year. And all of a sudden, my head starts to spin because the story that I wrote could possibly no longer be true. And I was like, what's going to happen? Am I going to lose my job? How am I going to pay my rent? What are my parents going to think? And I reached a new level of anxiety that I didn't recover from for a very long time. And after a few months, it turns out they did fire half the first year. They did not fire me. But then my worry was about, did they like my memo? Was I going to get a raise? Was my husband going to leave me? Was there going to be a terrorist attack in New York City? And when you're anxiety-ridden all the time, you stop sleeping, and then my immune system became compromised, and I started to run to all these doctors. And I started to say, I don't feel good. You have to help me. And they took all this blood work, and they said, Allison, there's nothing wrong with you. Here's this little blue pill for your anxiety, and everything will be okay. And even the blue pill gave me anxiety. And so I went on this path, and I thought to myself, okay, I changed my diet. I had acupuncture done, everything I could possibly think of, and I did feel more balanced. But then the minute something unexpected happened in my life, I spun out of control. And then one day I heard this beautiful story about this farmer who had a horse, and his horse ran away. And the neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer's like, maybe. And the next day, the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor came by and said, you have the best luck. And the farmer's like, maybe. And the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer's like, maybe. And the next day, the army comes to take the son to war, but they can't because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And in the Taoist tradition, the story means things are neither good or bad. They just change. But for me, when I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I was overwhelmed with this feeling of hope and possibility. Because I was so busy in my life, worried that a horse was going to run away, that it never occurred to me that he could come back with five mares. And I went home that day, and I had just left the law, and I had started to become a business consultant, and I didn't have a lot of clients. And no matter what negative thought I had, I threw maybe against it. I don't have enough clients. I'm not making enough money. And then I'd ask myself, are you absolutely certain that thought's true? And I'd say no, so what else is there? Maybe everything is good. Maybe you're supposed to have this amount of clients. Maybe things will get better. Maybe things will grow. Maybe you'll make more money. Maybe it takes time. Maybe I'll be okay no matter what. And it changed everything in my life because all of a sudden I was viewing my life through this idea of maybe, that there was never just one way. There are so many ways, and there's always hope. There's always possibility. And uncertainty, instead of being my enemy, became my friend. And everything changed.
Yes, yes. You know, I find it fascinating, Allison. I think to myself, why do we tend to dwell on the worst outcomes instead of thinking, those outcomes are just a very small subset of what could be really amazing outcomes And I think all of us have stories in our lives where something that seemed negative then led us to a situation that was incredibly positive. And so I find it interesting how it really is a habit where our thoughts
right.
can go to the negative.
Right, and it is. It's a habit that most of us learned. You know, maybe our parents were negative. Maybe we had an experience when we were a child. Sometimes you lose a job, and that turns you negative, or you go through a hard time. And I think most people, they want to be positive. I don't have a client that doesn't try to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a positive thinker. But if you go
right.
back to Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, that was God-based. It said, think positively, God will take care of everything. So there are people that have faith, and they're just, they feel comfortable with whatever happens in life, God will help me, or I'm just going to go with the flow, I feel this basic, I feel grounded in life. But everyone else, we write these stories, and we write these stories to make ourselves feel better that life is going to be okay. We say, I'm going to have this job till I retire, and I'm going to have this amount of money in the bank account when I'm 50, and my child will go to this college, and everything will work out.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we write these stories is so we have ground, because we're so worried that we're not okay. And then when these stories don't happen, we spin out of control. Life's not working out. Things aren't going as planned. And we forget that we have this idea of maybe. And I think intellectually, we know this. Intellectually, we know every end is a beginning. One door closes, another one opens. But emotionally, we don't really know this. And we forget that just because you lost that job, well, maybe there's another job. Maybe you were supposed to lose that job. Maybe you'll be okay even though you only have this amount of money in the bank. And maybe your child will still be okay if they don't go to that college. And so if we start to embrace this idea, we can learn to show up in a positive way, but be flexible. So instead of battling, the thing is, because we're so afraid, we battle positive negative thinking, and it's exhausting. So maybe take you out of that battle and allows you to say, okay, these are my goals, but maybe it'll happen this way, maybe another way, and it allows us just to be strong in the face of uncertainty and really persevere with the things we want in life.
Yes. You know, as I was reading your book, I was thinking to myself about the changes in life. And, you know, what do we really want in life? Do we really want it to be as predictable as we think we do? Because when we look back and we think, gosh, you know, if that hadn't happened or that hadn't happened, and these are all things that were very unpredictable that we can all think of, my goodness, this wouldn't have happened. And so why is it we can't bring that into the present moment and say, you know what, there could be something amazing right around the corner here, like this show. This show just was very spontaneous that you're on right now, almost, you know, 4 years ago, now, over 4 years ago. It just came into being. There's no way I could have predicted that. I wasn't set out to be, I didn't set out to be a radio host. It just happened because of the circumstances of my life. And so anyway, why do we feel like that would be good if we could predict everything 100%, as if we know for ourselves this is what's best?
Well, I was just going to say that because we think we know. And again, it's because we're afraid. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we're afraid we're not okay. So we believe if we knew, we would feel more solid. We would have more ground. And we don't realize that by needing to know, all we do is we limit our life. Because we're always going to look for a decision that's safe. We're never going to really explore things that challenge us. And the minute something happens that we don't like or something we didn't expect, instead of pushing forward and finding a new way, we're going to close down and really turn our back on all that's possible. And just like your show, I could say the same thing about my book. It took me 5 years to get big publisher to buy my book. And at first, you know, I got an agent very easily, and I thought, okay, I have this great idea. I'm helping so many people. This book is going to get published. That was my story. The book will get published, and so many people will just be healed by the idea of maybe. And my agent sent the book out, and the response was, who is this woman? This is a great idea, but she has no platform. Rejection, 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 rejection. Now, I could have taken that rejection and said, okay, not meant to be. This is too hard. I'm not going to pursue it. But instead, I sat in the maybe. I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe I need to do something else. And I started to blog. I would have never become a blogger. I thought bloggers were like 20-year-old kids that wrote about their life in college. I had no idea that you know, there was a whole world out there. And when I started to blog, I started to share my ideas with people around the world. I got a huge following. It was such an amazing way for me to communicate all the work that I was doing. And now I blog for Huffington Post and Psychology
yes.
Today. And then I was like, okay, here I am. I sent the book out again. You know what happened? I got rejected again. And
oh,
instead
wow.
of again, but instead of shutting down, I said, okay, well, where's the maybe? Like, maybe this is good. Maybe it's not the right time. Or mm-hmm. or maybe there's another path for me. So I stayed open. And then in the beginning, I ended up self-publishing my book. And
yes.
And I gave it away for free. And then 29,000 people downloaded it in one day. And I went on the Amazon bestseller list. And then this happened and that happened. And then eventually a large publisher, Penguin Random House, bought my book. But
uh-huh.
looking back, the journey was the best part. I wouldn't
yes.
change a thing. And I'm so happy that I stayed in maybe, because if I would have shut down, I wouldn't have I've met so many people. I've learned so many things. Even just being able to deal with rejection. What a beautiful
yes.
experience to be rejected and still love yourself, to be rejected and still pursue your goals. These were my lessons. And I'm so happy the book was bought. But actually, out of all the experiences, it wasn't the best part. The best part was
uh-huh.
the journey. So when we stay open to maybe, we evolve as human beings, and we become stronger, and we become more interesting and more creative. And if you can live in this place, everything changes. Life becomes more vibrant and rich.
Yes. Yes. I love that story, Allison, because I know that a lot of people listening are probably in the same boat. And either that or they're in the other boat where and this is a story you tell in your book about facing the blank page where we're expected to write a book and you know it just isn't coming out right, or we view that page as intimidating as opposed
right.
to, in fact, maybe you can tell that story of facing the blank page. How do we approach a blank page like that in a positive way?
Well, you know, I think we forget that uncertainty is our friend.
Yes.
If you want your life to change, if you want to create something new, it's only going to happen in the unknown. So we shut down to the ticket. Like, the ticket is uncertainty. If you want to get a new job, if you want your business to grow, if you want to find a new relationship, and you sit around thinking you want to know, that's not really how it's going to happen. It's in that unknown place that all those new possibilities exist. So if you could turn towards uncertainty and open up and look at it as your friend and look at it as the place where everything you want is possible, that's when you're going to shift it, everything.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
and there was a story in my book. It was about, I think it was a graphic designer. I've had a couple of people that, many people have had that experience. But she had her own business, and she always an architect. It might have been architect. I don't remember which woman that I actually put in the book. And she was always frightened. She would start a new project, and she was always frightened in the beginning that she wouldn't be able to create what her client wanted. And
yes.
would she be able to satisfy this client? Would she ever get more clients? Would she be able to pay her rent? So this blank page of the uncertainty became her enemy, and she would dread it. And every time she started a new project, it would be the most horrendous experience of her life. And when she started to embrace this idea of maybe, she realized, like I said, that uncertainty wasn't her enemy. It was the place of new beginnings. It was the place
yes.
where she got to create. In fact, after she created what she needed to create, that job was limited, because things were going to be set. She was going to create whatever she had to, you know, whatever. When her work was complete, then the job would just move forward. So in the beginning is when it's so expansive. And if we could see it like that, we're going to show up differently.
Yes, yes. I love that. And I feel that it's just an entirely different way of looking at the potentials of any project, because I know that you know, many of us, we live with expectations, and sometimes our greatest expectations are our own, you know, that you know, maybe it won't be good enough. You know, there's a
right.
there's a real negative twist that we put on
right.
things. It won't be good enough.
Right. And also, where are we in the project? Like often I have people that come to me, and let's say they want to start a business, and they say, Allison, I am starting this business, and by next month I'm going to have 20 clients, and I'm going to have $30,000 of income. And at the end of the
yes.
month, he has two clients and $5,000 of income. But the story, the way he told it's not working out. So if you're this guy was afraid of uncertainty, so he wrote the story of what needed to happen. It didn't happen. So a lot of people will be like, my business is not working out. Things aren't going as planned. But maybe it is going exactly how it needs to. Maybe you're in the exact place at the exact time. Or maybe you need to work on something. Maybe you're not marketing well. Maybe you need to improve your product. But if we shut down, we'll never know. And if we don't judge it, again, if we stay out of the battle of this is good, this is bad, no, this is just what's happening. And maybe everything is still okay, and maybe you need to do something else. If you're able to kind of hang out in that realm of possibility, you're going to be able to keep moving forward. And this guy actually has a huge business today, actually a multi-million-dollar business today. And he started after 1 month thinking this is never going to work out. And maybe we work more on maybe than we did on his sales and his product, because that's where he was failing. He was failing in the realm of maybe. He was judging everything as bad when it actually wasn't. It was actually just more opportunities, different paths, and a different way of thinking and a different way of living.
Yes, yes, yes. I have to say that I know quite a few entrepreneurs in the spiritual community who are doing different things. They're either in the spiritual or self-help community. And it takes, it really does take courage. In fact, that comes up in your book as well, because you do tend, and this is a question for you, is you'll hear a lot of voices. There will be voices of people outside of you who will say, you know, you need to just go back and get a job, or, you know, because there's this, everybody's been given this picture, and this is in your book too, of, oh, you know, you have to build all this up for retirement, and, you know, and yet there's these stories of people, you know, you have to persevere, and and that that faith aspect, and there is uncertainty, but you know, it takes courage. It does.
Oh,
it
yeah, you have to
have the answer.
Yeah. You have to dig deep. I remember, you know, I left this big law job, and I was at this event that I created this charity event where a bunch of children would get together and they would raise money for these charities. And I was like in between things. I was just starting life coaching and business consulting, and I think I had two clients at the time. But all these women, they were very accomplished. There were women who were, you know, writers and actresses and heads of companies. And when we were leaving this event, this woman turned around and said, "Look at all these successful women in this room." And she named every single person there but me. And I remember, but it was one of the best moments of my life. I mean, at that moment, I felt like I had a pit in my stomach, because I was at this large firm. I was very accomplished, and I had given it all up because to pursue something that I felt very passionate about. And so that not having that outer recognition, you know, I went home with, you know, just like barely crawled home. But it was such an amazing experience, because I got to strengthen that part of me that was okay no matter what. And I think a lot of us are missing that piece, because when we were young, someone told us we couldn't achieve things, or maybe we've had failures. So for me, you know, when I got home that day, I really had to dig deep, and it was maybe. Maybe I can do this. Maybe everything's okay. Maybe this is my path. So even though it was just this little opening of hope, it kind of brought me out of that situation where I had, you know, to say, well, I'm not pursuing the thing that everybody wants me to pursue, but maybe that's okay. And so what was interesting is that when I found maybe, it helped me with this my future projections. But as I sat with it, it also helped me with my internal doubt. And I think that's what happens, is that we're scared that we're not okay. We're scared that what people are telling us is true. But maybe what they tell us isn't true. And maybe we know ourselves better. And the more we sit with it, and the more we really understand who we are and we align with our path, maybe it's going to constantly help us release those thoughts. Because deep down, I think many of us know what we're supposed to be doing if we allow ourselves to not sit in the fear and to connect back to our wisdom. And so I think maybe it's this little platform we give ourselves, because you could cast doubt on everybody else instead of ourselves. Maybe that person told you is not true. Maybe you are okay. Maybe you need to give it a little more time. So it open. That's what maybe does. Platform, light, hope, and possibility.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
And now that woman who said that to me, that woman that said to me that day, she's one of my clients. So, and I don't say it in a, I just say it that everything changes.
Yes.
That, you know, you can't, like what she said that one day, that's how she saw it, and that was fine. But it all changes, and we have to remember that just because something is a certain way one day doesn't mean it's going to be that way the next day and the day after that, because things will change. And within that change, there's your opportunity, there's your hope, there's your possibility.
Yes, yes. I really appreciated within your book there is an analogy that you use, and then you expand it to an exercise that you do with your client involving a door that came from a Disney movie. And I wonder if you could relate how this metaphor came into being and then how you used it and continue to use it as a wonderful tool that can help the audience even here today. It's a beautiful, beautiful analogy that you use.
Sure. There were clients that were coming to me that loved the idea of maybe. They would sit and be like, wow, right, maybe I can do this. Maybe things will change. And they would leave my office. And then I'd speak to them next week, and they're like, well, I really can't see things ever being a different way. So I was like, I was trying to figure out where the disconnect was between being in my office, believing things were possible, then going back to their office, and then just feeling stuck again. And I was watching this movie Madagascar with my children, and there's this scene where this lion gets thrown out of the jungle. And immediately after he gets thrown out, there's a door. And he's banging on the door to get back into the jungle, but he never bothers to look to the right or to the left or up or down. There was nothing preventing him from going back into the jungle. You know, the only place he couldn't get in was where the door was. And I think that's what happens to a lot of us. I think, at least for my clients, they were standing so close to the door that they couldn't see another way. And so it made me realize that if they pull back from the door, if they pull back from that one way they think their business has to be, they will see that there are other ways. So we started to do this visualization. And I was not a big person at that time into visualizations. But after I saw the show, I was like, you know, I'm going to try this. And it actually worked wonders for many of my clients. And what I did is I would ask them to imagine whatever problem they had. Maybe they couldn't find a good employee. Maybe their sales were down. Maybe their rent was going up. And that was that. I said, imagine that problem as a door right in front of your face. Now pull that back. And as they would pull it back, they would realize, okay, yeah, there's a door, but there's all this open space around it. And I would have them visualize what else could be possible. And for some reason, that's when they were able to see the maybe. Because they saw, wow, like there's so much space. There's what else could that possibly be? And the more they sat in that open space and did that visualization, I mean, the visualizations are explained more in the book, but they were able to kind of see, okay, what else is there? Where's the maybe? Because it's almost like you could put your fear in a little test tube, or you could drop your fear into the ocean. And when you do, you see there's so much out there. Yes, it is possible that things might not work out, but there's so many other ways that it can work out. And if we start to recognize that, we're going to have less stress, we're going to have less worry, and I believe ultimately we're going to access more because we're going to be seeing more possibilities. When you see more of your choices, you tend to make better choices.
Yes. What do you say to people, Allison? And I know that we've got a lot of small business owners who listen to this, and this can be true even in health in so many different ways, where someone feels like, you know, they're facing a very steep slope, and they see progress, but it's like, but I need to leap, you know, I need to get the destination to you know, do whatever, you know, to either overcome a health challenge or, you know, a business challenge, whatever it may be, seems, you know, just so incredibly high. How do you help people to think about that in a different way? Because, you know, a different analogy is people can think when they're in a business, it's like I'm bailing this boat out with a spoon. Or so, you know, it's like I'm making progress, but how do you don't, you know, drop the spoon and you know, maybe get a different boat or whatever. I see how
that's a
opens
really,
the doors
that's a great,
that.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And the first thing that what's so great about maybe is that there are a lot of self-help books out there where you read whatever you think you will manifest. If something bad happens, it's because you thought, you know, you have The Secret, you have The Law of Attraction, and I have nothing against those things, but when hard things happen, when you're facing a hardship, sometimes it's really hard to say, okay, I'm just going to only think positive thoughts. I'm not going to let anything negative into my life. And in a way, we kind of go into denial. I remember once I decided I wasn't going to have any more negative thoughts. This was before I found Maybe.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm just going to stay positive all day. And for 3 days,
yeah,
I didn't let one negative thought into my head. After 3 days, I went to sleep. I had a dream that my mother died, my father died, my father-in-law died, my mother-in-law died. I woke up frightened. I fell asleep and had the same dream again because I wasn't allowing myself to feel what I needed to feel. And so I think the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize where we are. And just because we recognize where we are and we allow ourselves to feel, it doesn't mean it's not going to change. So we can't be in denial of what's happening. We have to My clients need to look at their financial statements. So, you know, we need to look at what's happening. But at the same time, we have to recognize that life changes. And maybe says, doesn't say there aren't hardships in life. Because we all know we experience tough times, whether it's personal, whether it's in health, whether it's in business. But what maybe says is what's left and what's possible. So it allows us to accept where we are, but open up to all the possibilities in our life. And sometimes, believe it or not, sometimes you get out of your situation with the spoon. And that's just how it is. And sometimes you because that's how it goes. Like I have people that I know, it takes a really long time for things to turn around. But with maybe, you constantly let go of the story, things aren't working out, because maybe they are. Maybe this is how I'm going to get out of it. Maybe everything's okay. Maybe it's going to get better. Maybe these thoughts I'm having aren't true. And I've seen people with a little spoon, you know, every day, you know, eventually they work their way. But sometimes what happens is that our stories that things are not working out, we turn our back on what's possible because we're so negative because we're believing it. And with maybe, it puts doubt on the doubt. And what I ask people to do is, what's your biggest fear? Write down your biggest fear. What could the biggest fear would be, my business is not going to work out, or I'm going to be out of business next week. And so are you absolutely certain? And often when people come to me, they're not at the end of the line. Sometimes they are. Sometimes people do. They have to file bankruptcy and then they have to restart again. And there are a lot of successful people that do that. But often I find that people, they're kind of drowning in the negativity as well as their problems. So they can't see their way out of it because they've been in it so long. Well, things will never change and things will never work out. But with this idea of maybe, it allows them, because once you say, are you absolutely certain you're going to be out of business next week or next month, they'll say, no, I'm not absolutely certain. What else is there? And you start to write the maybe statements, and you realize that you've shut down towards what's possible, because maybe there is another way. And the minute you allow yourself to drop your stories and open up to the other way, things change, because we get used to the way life is, and we think it can't be different. And that's what happens when we experience hardships, or money is tight, or we lose a job. We can't imagine it changing. So what maybe does is allows us to imagine it without knowing it. And isn't that beautiful? Because it gives us hope that, wow, life can be different one day, or it can change, it can be better. And I find that when people start to allow that, they start to see other opportunities. And I used to think that it was just this mental game that people would play, that they would allow themselves to actually mentally open up to everything that's possible. But I think there's also something energetic about it. I have to be honest. When I'm in maybe and I'm really in it, things happen. Like, everything happens. It's almost like I'm actually saying to the universe, I'm open for business. And I wrote yesterday, I think, embracing uncertainty is like accepting an invitation to everything that's possible. So when we do that, we align with the universe, we align with everybody else, and opportunities start to come. Because when you're not in fear and you're in maybe, everything shifts.
Yes, yes. I love the relationship with hope. I'll even tell something that was kind of cool that happened to me, because this can be very spiritual. I was putting up some Christmas decorations, and the last few months, a lot of good things have been happening, but a lot of other things have been happening. It's like, you know, a family member with a health thing that came up on the show, actually, and then other things, just different things, business-wise. Even my fence, I just discovered, fell down in a windstorm, and so I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you know, let's stay positive because, you know, I have a show about fear, although I often honestly say I have a very honest relationship with fear. I don't claim to be fear-free. It's a process for us all. Well, the other day, I was putting up Christmas decorations, and I had to move some stuff, and I noticed this rubber tree plant, it really is a rubber tree plant, had grown huge. And I thought, my God, how did this thing grow so tall? And all of a sudden, I remembered that story, you know, from my childhood, the song, you know, the ant moving the rubber tree plant.
Right.
And I thought, this is like an analogy straight from my childhood. And, you know, it's all about hope. And, you know, things do tend to open up at that point. And yet there is this, you know, if we can only lighten up a little bit, like, my goodness, you know, if it, whenever it rains, it pours, you know, you hear that a lot, and not view that so negatively that okay, yeah, the fence is leaning against my tree back there, you know, okay, well, so be it, what do we do, you know. So I'm happy to relate that personally, and how even this little sign from the universe with this giant rubber plant in my front window just gave me a little wink, like, you know, have high hopes, which is what the song
Well, that's what
is
maybe
about.
Is. It's like a little wink. And I understand what you're saying. You know, it's funny you say that you're very open about your relationship with fear. And I always say, when people come to me and say, oh, Allison, you've helped me so much. It's so amazing you live in maybe. And I always look at them and say, you know, be weary of the person that felt they needed to write a book about it. Because I could fall out of maybe. And and I always get back to it. But when I'm in maybe, that's when I feel the most hopeful, because it always reminds me of change and more things are possible. And I think what happens even when a fence falls down, or even when, you know, you renovate your apartment and you have a flood, you could start to write a bigger story. Things aren't working out. Things are terrible. Why would this happen? And we forget the most basic maybe statement. Maybe everything is still okay. And to me, I get automatic perspective the minute I think that. Because I think also what we do is we take everything that happens so seriously.
Yes.
Like, maybe your fence just fell down, and maybe there was just a flood in my apartment, and then that's all it is. And life is still okay. Even though we need to deal with it, it's still okay. Even if our businesses are growing slowly, even if we didn't find that job in time, even if our child didn't get into the college that we thought they would get into, maybe everything's still okay. And when we show up just with that thought, you know, we could just be where we are and recognize, wow, there's so many beautiful things happening at the same time as well. It's almost like you could walk into your kitchen. If someone once told me this, you walk into your kitchen and you see there are dirty dishes in your sink. And you think to yourself, oh, my kitchen is such a mess. And you forget that if you open all the cabinets, there's a ton of clean dishes. So really, your kitchen is pretty clean. But you're only focusing on the dirty dishes. So when we remember that maybe everything is still okay, we kind of fall back into the present. And we have a wider perspective of everything that's happening, because why do we always ignore the good? Why do we always forget to appreciate? Because we're so worried that one thing is going to take us right to hell. And it's not. Because it's just a fence, and it's just a floor, and it's just a job, and it's not really the essence of who we are. And the more we're in maybe, I think we show up with more ease. If we see life through the lens of maybe, everything is more gentle and more open at the same time.
Yes. Yes, I appreciate how being in this space of maybe, it is so much about being present in the current moment. And I think there can be a tendency where, it's funny though, in a way, you know, like the fence falling down. I almost wanted to laugh about it. And I'm really kind of smiling. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's just that it's just been a lot of different things. And it's like, okay, you know, what else could happen? Well, you know what? I also took that as a symbol of walls falling down, that, you know, things that have been barriers, you know, I see lots of symbols in my environment. I saw the rubber plant, and I thought, well, what's a good way of viewing that? First of all, Do I have to, you know, okay, let's look at this. There are plenty of people who have little things like this. Do I have to replace the whole fence? You know, it's a fairly big fence. No, no, I don't have to replace it. I can fix it. You know, we might be able to fix it ourselves. Yeah, there are all kinds of things that, you know, it's just one more thing, but
right.
It's just, you know, it's not some catastrophe. And then it just sort of is funny how these things can appear together.
Right. Especially when it's one on top of the other, on top of the other.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. And you know, with the big things, I love how you look at, okay, you know, I think we're often taught, I was taught sometimes to ask, what's the worst that can happen? You know, sometimes we are taught that in life. What's the worst that can happen? And do we really, instead of, you know, thinking about the worst that's going to happen, but, you know, what's the best that can happen? And also, even
right.
if, you know, this happens, is it really that bad as you think it is? And,
right.
and you know, what could happen out of it? And so I think that, right. that it just opens all the doors. All the fences fall down. The barriers
right.
fall down, and the possibilities are there.
Yeah, and I love that you said that what's the worst that could happen. Why
uh-huh.
should any of us be sitting around thinking about that? That's really, to me, that's the last place I want to launch any creation
yeah.
from. I would much prefer, I have had a lot of clients that, I had one book, actually, it's the story didn't make the book, but it was this woman, and they owned this huge architectural firm, very successful, one of the biggest in the city. And when 2008 happened and all the projects stopped because, you know, the market fell and all the big companies were in distress and they had a lot going on. And I had coffee with this woman. And the first thing she said to me was, if I have to move back to a six-floor walk-up and it's just me and my husband and blah, 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 we can do it. And I looked at her and I said, out of all the things to be thinking right now, I mean, they had a huge business. Why would you go there? Because she was
uh-huh.
looking for ground. She was so afraid that she was looking for that place to stand, that she'll know she'll be okay. But that's really not the place where you're going to save your business. That's going into survival mode. And we go there first because we're so worried. And we had this long talk, and I said, well, why would you go there? How about launching from another place? That stay in this place of maybe everything's going to be okay, maybe things will get better, maybe there's something else you need to do. It's really a better place to stand because you remain open. Yes, the six-floor walk-up is a possibility within all the realm of possibilities, but there are so many other places that are possible that with maybe we don't have to look at the worst. We recognize there are many ways things can go, but within that, there's so many other things. Let's focus on everything and see how far we can get. And actually now, I mean, they're doing business all over the world. They rebounded well, and they joke.
Uh-huh.
They say it's all about the maybe, because they decided that they weren't going to focus on the worst. They were going to focus on everything. And when you're open to everything, you're going to find some amazing things happen in your life.
Yes, yes. No, I think that life can be miraculous. And I think that, you know, one of the things you said right at the beginning of your book is how we make compromises so often.
Right.
And I think we can all see that, and you see it in your life. And I'll tell you another funny thing. Do you know what was sitting on my counter right before my son's getting ready to go to college next year? And what would be on our counter that just arrived? An NYU booklet of all places. We're in Oregon. We're in Oregon. And I, in fact, we even joked. I said, "Well, here's another one," yeah, because he's getting stuff from all over. And I thought of all the ones. I mean, it's very visible on our counter right now. But your own story, I know, is about, you know, you made compromises to be where you were, which seemed to be incredibly, you know, it had all this potential. But really, what you found your way to something that was so much more satisfying.
But it took maybe. It took me embracing maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because without maybe, I would have kept making the choice that I thought was the safest. And there's no such thing as, I mean, when we say safe choice, everything in life is unpredictable. Even the
yes.
safest choice. I mean, I have clients that work for the biggest companies for 20 years, And now they're unemployed, and I have people that went on their own and became entrepreneurs who endured a great deal of uncertainty, and now they're multimillionaires. So we don't know which choice will bring us more certainty or less certainty, but when we embrace maybe, we find the courage to do what's best for our lives. Because if I was just looking for certainty right now, yeah, I might be a partner at a large law firm in New York City, but so what? Would I be happy? Would I be fulfilled? Would I be on my path? And I probably would have been filled with anxiety and stressed every day. It wasn't for me. But without that idea of maybe, I don't know if I would have had the courage to constantly pursue the things that I want. Because every time something bad happens, every time there's a new challenge, I would have said, I can't do this. I'm not. This is too uncertain. Well, what's going to happen next? I wouldn't have had it in me. But maybe gives me the courage because it allows me to constantly see. Well, maybe I can do this. Maybe things will be better than I think. Maybe I just don't know the answer right now, and that's okay. Maybe these crazy thoughts are not true. So it's casting doubt on all these thoughts that I have, and then it gives me this little opening to say, well, maybe it is possible. And that's all people need sometimes. It's almost like a little nudge from a friend. You could do it. You can do it. Give it a shot. That's what maybe is. It's like it becomes almost like our best friend, always encouraging us to explore what's possible in our lives.
You know, after I finished your book, and I told you before the show, I took several pages of notes because I found it to be incredibly meaningful for me. And I read a lot of books for this show, and this book really... It really resonated with me. I feel, you know, the word that I wrote after was freedom, which is interesting because I just felt, I realized that by not making compromises, you know, by not necessarily listening to what everybody says, you know, that you should do this. In fact, you talk about the shoulds in your book. You should do this, you should do this. Well, I haven't listened, and a lot of us don't listen when we're going out on our own. And freedom doesn't mean we don't work hard. I mean, we do.
Right.
But I just felt this tremendous sense of, you know, I choose to be free, and that just
right.
opens up so many possibilities. Instead of having... you know, my fears dictate the future to me. I choose to be free and open up to what I can create. And
right.
I think if people can be inspired in that way, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, because what's happening is that our fears, it's a heavy burden to carry. We don't realize it. It's like carrying this huge sack on our back everywhere we go. Everything that's happened in the past is on our back. Everything that could possibly happen in the future is on our back. And then everybody else is telling us what we should do. It's very difficult to move forward with all those burdens. But with maybe, you recognize that maybe the past is over. Maybe good things will happen in the future. And maybe everything everyone's saying to me is not true. And all of a sudden... there you are in the moment realizing that your dreams are possible and your desires
right.
are possible and that you have no idea what's going to happen next. And within that is such amazing opportunities. So it's liberating because you stop being fear-based. Living in maybe, you embrace hope and possibility and you give up the fear because you realize that maybe not one of those fearful thoughts are true. And what else? And it's almost like, what else is there? It allows you to say that. Even if you hold on to the fear, it allows you to explore what else is possible. So if you want to hold the fear, you can. But at the same time with maybe, you could also hold the possibilities. So at the very least, they might balance themselves out. And often what I find, the more you live in maybe, the fears fall away.
Yeah.
And that's why it's
yeah.
so free. Because all of a sudden, there's nothing on your back anymore. You're burden free because you realize that all things are possible.
Yes, and that's the freedom. In fact, as you were speaking, there's another. I could talk with you for 2 hours. I swear this show is going by so fast. But you know, there was something else I realized as you were talking, is that so often, and you address this in a little bit different way in your book. We use maybe in the wrong way. As I was thinking this, in the sense of maybe I should have done this 4 years ago, or maybe someone's telling us, you know. If you'd only done this, what I told you, you know,
yeah.
you wouldn't be dealing with that. And, you know, or you think of, oh, gosh, you know, if that hadn't happened or that person hadn't done that, or that's where it really gets dysfunctional. And you talk about this in your book, where it's a huge burden, the past, when we think, you know, what could we have done differently instead of, you know, letting that go. And I wonder if you could reflect on that too a little bit.
But again, a very surprising aspect of maybe that people come into my office and they tell me, if I would have gone into business with Joe, my life would have been wonderful today. If I would have married that guy from high school, right, things would have been great now. And we tell these stories without twists and turns. The story of regret and the story of the road not taken is always perfect. There wouldn't have been any problems, but our lives today are filled with twists and turns. And we forget the fact that if had you gone into business with Joe, there would have been twists and turns. And for all you know, you and Joe would have fought, and you would have not gotten along, and things wouldn't have worked out. You could have been in Joe's office. You could have walked out the door and got hit by a car. We have no idea what would have happened if you went into business with Joe. We have no idea what would have happened if you would have gone into business or, you know, married that person from high school.
Uh-huh.
And so I call it a reverse maybe. We write the story like we knew, but maybe it would not have been better, and we will never know. All we know is here we are with hope and possibility that our life can be different. And one of the most interesting regret stories that someone ever brought to me was actually my dad. He's 82, and we were sitting at a table, and he was telling me how he had such regret in his life that he didn't go into the entertainment industry. Because he went into his dad wanted him to go into the family business. He became an engineer and went into steel fabrication. And he was telling me the story. If I had gone into the entertainment industry, I would have been so successful. And the story went on and on and on. And at first he caught me because I started to feel so sad that he didn't get to pursue his dreams. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, he's telling me reverse maybe. My dad has had a beautiful life, a beautiful relationship with my mom, wonderful kids, successful business. But the most interesting thing is his story of the road not taken, there was never a failed script. And how many people do we know that are writers, you know, that things don't work out? He never had a failed script. He would never had a failed movie.
Wow.
Everything he would have done would have been perfect. So the story is perfect because we never got to experience it. So we never had the twists and turns of things not going right. And as we spoke about it, I explained this to him, and we talked about his life and how beautiful it's been, he looked at me and he said, Allison, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe everything's exactly as it's supposed to be. But the most amazing part about the story is after we spoke, you know what he started to do? He started to write a screenplay. And he started to help his friend, at the age of 82, he started to help his friend edit a sitcom. So what really happened is that not only did he recognize that he was just telling a story of what could have been, that maybe everything in his life was okay, but he also was able, when he let go of that regret and he let go of that idea of missed opportunity, it actually gave him a freedom. Because all of a sudden, like, he's pursuing things at the age of 82 that he didn't pursue at the age of 35. But isn't it amazing that all he did was recognize that, and it opened him up to a new beginning at this age, because he was no longer holding the burden of missing something. He realized, I didn't miss a thing. I'm still here. I'm alive. What's possible? Maybe this is still possible. And who knows what will happen, but what a great thing for him to go back to his creativity and realize that as long as you're here, things are possible. And there's no such thing as a missed opportunity. I don't believe in them.
Yes. Oh, that is so powerful. And, you know, I think what you've just revealed is that maybe can be with us to our very last day. You know, there is always possibility.
To our last breath. I had a fellow who called me. His mother was in ICU. And he said, Allison, where's the maybe? Where's the maybe? And I said, why are you on the phone with me? Your mother is still on this earth. She's still here. Go into that room and you find what's possible. Maybe you need to hold her. Maybe you need to talk to her. And he got off the phone with me and he went into that room. And for 5 hours, because of maybe, he was able to drop the stories of what was going to be. And he was so present with his mother. He held her. They spoke. He did everything he could in that moment just to be with her. And to this day, he always says, Allison, one of the most beautiful 5 hours of my life. Thank God for maybe, because it made me say, what's possible? What's left? That's what maybe is. It says, what's left? It allows you to, like, squeeze every last piece of juice, you know, out of the fruit. And he did that. And he said, thank goodness, because I would have missed those 5 hours with her mother, with my mother. I mean, we all leave here one day, but until we do, when there's breath, there's maybe. And I always wake up every day and say, what's possible today? Even if even if I'm in pain, or even if, you know, I have a headache, or even if I have a problem with my editor, whatever it is, I still look for all the glory. And that's what maybe allows you to do. It allows you to look for everything and engage in everything and get the most out of everything until the end. Or maybe that's a new beginning. Who knows? We don't know. It's a maybe. Death is also a maybe, right? I mean, we know we're going to pass, but what happens then? We don't know. And within not knowing is a whole world.
Yes. Oh, it's true that, you know, that's often the greatest fear. And actually on this show, we've had people who've talked about, you know, evidence of what can happen after death. And so even the greatest fear that people often have in life, you know, there are a lot of possibilities to explore if you look at them. And, you know,
and even if you don't explore. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you just so beautifully expressed the sweetness in life. A concept from your book is, you know, finding the sweetness in the present moment, even if there are challenges, even huge challenges, like this person's mother dying, you know, finding the sweetness in the present moment.
Right, and without maybe he couldn't find it because he was projecting, and there was still something to experience. And he misses his mother terribly, but in that moment they were still together. And talking about death, maybe has changed. I used to be afraid of it, and if it comes up, I realize, well, maybe everything will be okay. Maybe there's something I don't know, and I'm okay with that because I realize in not knowing there's hope. So I don't even read a lot about what happens when after people die. And I know there's a lot of literature and people have had experiences and a lot of religions have all these stories. I don't even go there because I realize I'll never know until it happens. But there's maybe.
Uh-huh.
And that just gives me hope. And I'm able to be with it. And it's funny, that little word released all my fear about death.
That's wonderful.
So it's really very, very powerful. For me, it's been powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny, I was reflecting with my older mother, actually, who's in her 80s, about death the other day. And we just kind of were having a very light conversation. I'll make this quick because we're almost at the end of the show. It's just that, you know what? Everybody has had to face it. No matter, you know, think of the most cowardly person in the world. You know, they've had to face it. You know, we all face it. And somehow in that, it just kind of eased it all. And you're right, you know, the maybe really does open it up. And, you know, I want to say in these last minutes, we're racing to the end of the live show. It doesn't cut us off, but we're racing to the end. This is a beautiful gift, this book. And I really want the audience to consider this as a last-minute gift idea because I feel that this book, in fact, it says the gift right on it, may be the gift that you're looking for, even to yourself, because I'm actually pondering giving this as a gift to some people because it is a powerful book, and it comes at a good time. So let me tell you, Allison, at the end of the live show, thank you so much for being here today and also give you the opportunity to let people know where they can find you and even your coaching that you do. Please do tell the audience about that here at the end.
Okay. Well, you could find a lot of my work on my website, AllisonCarman.com. And I write about, you know, other issues other than maybe. I write about parenting, which maybe is the greatest gift that for me, parenting.
Yes.
And a lot of other issues. And again, I write for Huffington Post, Psychology Today. And you could find the gift of maybe at all the major bookstores and online at all the major online retailers. And if you want to find me, there are a lot of places to find me these days.
Yes.
Which I'm happy about.
Well, I'm very appreciative that we found you on this show today because I very much have enjoyed reading your book and learning about your work and really look forward to exploring it much more deeply. So thank you, Allison, for everything you're doing. It's really making a difference.
It was a pleasure to be here today.
All right. Well, you take care and thanks again. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, and a happy holiday. Thank you.
All right. Okay, at the very end of the live show, we're racing to the end today. It's been that kind of a show, such an interesting topic. Tomorrow, we're on the air, or not tomorrow, Saturday, skip a day. December 20th at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Sonia Grace is coming back, and we're going to have a reflective time on the winter solstice. And actually, I think this show flows beautifully into that because we are going to talk about the possibilities of, at this time of year, the darkness turns to the light. And so the gift of maybe is a perfect thing to reflect upon at the solstice symbolically. So that's going to flow together very well. That's this Saturday, December 20th, 12 noon Pacific. Really fast. If you want to get in on the contest from last night, go to frontierbeyondfear.com. We're doing a free game giveaway. So as the live audience leaves, thank you, live audience, for being here. We're now in the podcast exclusively. Welcome, podcast audience. I know you've been with us all along, and I appreciate you so much. If you do have the opportunity, since I ran out of time there, if it's before Friday, December 19th, if you get to listen to this show tonight or at some point before then, you have until 12 noon Pacific to send an email to info@frontierbeyondfear.com to get in on the contest to win a five agreements game, which was our guest that we had on last night talking about that game. So thank you, everyone, for being here today. I hope that you're finding a chance to appreciate the present moment and breathe. No matter what you're going through right now, many of us are experiencing the holiday rush. Don't let yourselves rush so much that you don't experience the joy of the holidays. Listen to that last story that Allison gave us. That's true in many moments of the day. You know, appreciating the sweetness of this time of year, appreciate your loved ones around you, and, you know, slow down a little bit and it'll be okay. So take care, everyone. I will see you next time.